Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This is the Rose and Shine podcast, featuring the Swedish sisters Josephine Roos and Victoria Roos Olsen. Based in Stockholm and New York, we share experiences from our international lives and careers. Good morning, this is Josephine from New York.
And good afternoon, this is Victoria sending from Stockholm. This episode will be about negotiations, how to make the most out of it and actually enjoy it, because many of us actually dread it a little bit, not perhaps thinking about that we do negotiate on a regular, perhaps even daily basis. And I guess, after all, Josephine, we've even done some negotiation on when to record this very episode, haven't we?
And I think you won.
Well, that's very interesting, because I think, not entirely sure, but let's, all right.
But it's not about winning, right? It's finding that win-win, ideally. We're going to share some experience that we have in terms of negotiations and try to give some practical examples. And then I'm sure our listeners will have all of their different examples of when they are negotiating. But one aspect we want to give is the professional aspect, where most of us face these formal negotiations throughout our personal and professional lives. So this could include discussing the terms of a job offer with a recruiter, or price of a new car, or a contract with a supplier, but also in terms of my work, more in relation to peace processes and big political processes.
Can't wait to hear all about that. And then we're also going to bring it down to the more everyday things in life, less formal actually, less obvious negotiations that we actually somehow do. So it can even be, you know, negotiating with your toddler as you have one, or me negotiating with my teenagers. So that was kind of constantly happening. And actually, a book that you've read, and I haven't yet, but the quote is, like it or not, you are a negotiator. Everyone negotiates something every day. Getting to Yes, Negotiating Agreement Without Giving In. So that's a book that you would recommend, right?
Yeah, it's the kind of 101 book for negotiation. So we did it at our master's program. We read that book and did loads of the case studies in the book and learned how to negotiate based on it. So yeah, I'll share a couple of tips from it.
But you're coming straight out of negotiation from work, right? At the UN yesterday. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, not really me coming out of the negotiations, but more...
Oh, come on.
More attending a meeting where one of the negotiators of the Colombia peace deal participated and shared some of the key lessons in order for the Colombia peace deal to take place.
And interesting.
For those of you, for those of you who don't know, of course, Colombia has had more than 50 years of war between government and guerrillas. And relatively recently, FARC, the largest guerrilla group, and the government signed a peace deal.
Mm, yeah.
So this was a huge deal. And as many of you might also know, there was a referendum where I would say, unfortunately, that the people actually voted against the peace deal. Mm-hmm. But that being said, they still managed to, through a few modifications and changes, they still managed to get it passed, so to say. So the peace deal is still valid, despite that they lost the popular vote.
Okay. So what were these key lessons then for...
Yeah, so the negotiator really provided a long list. And we'll talk through a few of them. And then really we can see if some of these, I think, are quite applicable across across negotiations. So
even
not...
when you negotiate with like your two-year-old or...
Let's see. Maybe. I mean, the first point is political will. I'm not sure.
Well, define that. What about what does that mean? Political will.
Well, when you do that in a big negotiation, that is really that you have the commitment of the political parties or in this case, he was giving the government. You know, you might have a negotiation where someone is being sent, mm-hmm. but the other parties or party, if it's one you're negotiating with, they might not be sure that you actually represent the government or the president. You know, you might not really be fully supported in what you do.
How interesting.
Whereas in Colombia, he was giving the example that, you know, the negotiators representing the government, they really represented the precedent, and that's a way of really building trust, especially if the other parties know this, because then they know that it's serious.
So if mom calls me and says, you know, this dinner when everyone is at home, saying that Josephine said that it would be really great if everyone could sort of go to the house on Saturday, you know, I might consider, is that really mom's agenda or is it Josephine that really put this forward? That's kind of a political will as well, right?
Yeah, no, it's true. Yeah. Especially if you think that I'm actually not going to show up and it's like, Another, or the second point, and this I think holds valid across many of our negotiations, and that is to have a thorough preparation mm-hmm. before you start the negotiation. In the case of Colombia, that meant, you know, the government really knowing what they wanted mm-hmm. and really also knowing not only what they wanted, but also knowing what the FARC or what they wanted, so that they could present something when they sat down and met at the first time that already would be somewhat acceptable to the other party.
That's so interesting. And this I would go, I mean, having worked with and done trainings and workshops on this in sales and how to help your clients succeed, etc. This is key to really try to know what is it that I want and what is it that the other party really want, and do your research on that.
Absolutely. And that's also where, you know, the example of kind of not having everything so official, having secret talks can be very mm-hmm. useful.
Yeah.
Like behind closed doors, building trust.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really important in order to get to that stage where you have the information that you need in order to present.
Yeah, but it's like having a meeting before the meeting just to see, do I understand what are the key points, what's really important, so you can go and deliver? Because I guess at the end of the day, what you want is a successful agreement for both of you.
Yeah.
So the more you can prepare, mm-hmm. the better, mm-hmm. right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Another point was about the narrative. So making sure that, and this really holds, I guess, for bigger picture political deals. Mm-hmm. But the narrative around the negotiation. In the case of Colombia, rather than, you know, we are making peace forever and ever, the narrative is more around we are stopping the armed conflict and we don't want to get back to the armed conflict.
So is it kind of like finding out what's the biggest pain or what's the key message? Is that what you mean that you want to find and communicate about? Or
I think it's about finding a narrative that you think will be acceptable to other parties. So in this case, it was probably, and yeah, I have to say I'm not an expert on this, right? So I'm sharing the thoughts of this negotiator. Mm-hmm. But in this case, it would be looking at the population of Colombia might not be ready for saying we want to have peace with FARC. But the population of Colombia might be ready to say we want to stop the armed conflict.
That's interesting. And I guess that's also, you know, whenever there are referendums and popular votes, etc., that how you name it, like I'm thinking of the Brexit. And
exactly.
Is it that you're saying no or yes? And what's the narrative? To be smart about that when you think. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's number three.
The other part, and this is also, I mean, yes, this holds across. So that is having the relationship with other parties, like not just the ones that you are negotiating with, but the surrounding partners. Mm-hmm. For example, in Colombia, it could be with neighboring countries.
Yeah.
But in a negotiation with a company, I guess it might be, you know, having a good relationship with other companies.
We even say, like, you know, to talk about what are the informal decision makers, I guess, you know, who are all the people that are somehow influencers, big or small, in this, what you want to do, right?
Exactly that. The next point is around the method. Mm-hmm. So how do you actually do it? Mm. Do you have a direct negotiation or do you use a mediator? For example,
yeah.
In the Colombia case, they didn't have a mediator. And we can speak about later, in other cases, it could be really, really useful to have a mediator. Mm-hmm. But that is not maybe a recommendation. It's more you have to think through the method that you're going to use.
And you, I mean, talking about mediator, you're a certified mediator, which is so interesting. But we should come back to that maybe in a moment.
Yeah, we'll get back to that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's very interesting. The other, which I think also relates to the idea of, you know, bringing in your neighbors. In the case of Colombia, it was also about bringing in the victims of the conflict. Mm-hmm. And that was really important to try to look at, you know, how do we bring justice?
Yeah.
And also to make the negotiators from the two different teams, because obviously the government have been, you know, committing crimes as well. It's always two parties to a conflict, right?
Yeah.
So it really bringing it back to what is this really about? So they actually had, they had victims that were flown to Havana where these talks were being held to share their stories and to participate and say what they wanted out of the peace deal. So that really brought it back to the crust of the issue.
Mm-hmm. So to listen to the real people that are really concerned.
Exactly. And that also relates to the next point, which is participation. That is where you, you know, open, maybe you begin with a secret conversation, but then you need to broaden it and open it up so that it becomes more public. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise, how are you going to get people on board and vote yes, which they didn't in Colombia, actually.
So they didn't really succeed with that part then.
Maybe they succeeded in having a lot of people participating, but then in the end, they didn't really succeed necessarily. And again, I'm not an expert on that, but in actually getting the message out so that people really bought into it.
Mm, very interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Another point, I think this is maybe more peace deal related, but it's that you need to provide guarantees to some extent. You can't give blanket amnesty or amnesty to everyone, but you do also need to provide certain guarantees. But why would otherwise the other party enter a negotiation with you?
So even if you don't succeed, you have some guarantees just for being part of it all.
Exactly. Hmm. And then I think the final point that I'll share, there were certainly more lessons, but the final point is really around the implementation. Uh-huh. So you do have to start to think through, how are you practically going to implement this?
Yeah.
How are you going to make this happen? How are you, in case of Colombia, how are you making sure that the people in the communities start to see a difference from this peace deal and start to see it relatively fast?
And probably key for it to stay, if it's so important that you succeed and that it stays the way that you've negotiated.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, all different participants need to get some benefit out of this.
I guess we could do an entire episode on this with all the ins and outs and Colombia and everything. But I'm thinking, so that's just wonderful. And I mean, that's so cool with you working at the UN. I would say it's kind of the mothership of all negotiations, you know, coming from there. And there must be so many skillful people doing all of that. Mm. But let's see if we can bring it back to most people's life. I mean, when in life do we actually negotiate? I mean, I made a quick brainstorm and I came up with so many different things when we negotiate. What comes to your mind quickly?
Well, so the first one is negotiating with your child.
Yeah.
With your kid.
That's very current.
Like, don't throw the car toy into your friend's head.
Yeah. Or which pants to wear if you only want to wear the brown pants, yeah, even in the middle, yeah, of summer, yeah, like your son.
Yeah, he only wants to wear the brown. Now it's actually shifting to the gray pants.
Ah, good.
It's big drama. Yeah, no, so that's constant. And I guess with kids, you can always try to like divert their attention. I don't know. He often then remembers it. he goes back to it. So that's negotiating at home, and maybe related to when you have a toddler or young kids, it's also negotiating with your partner in regards to your time.
Yeah, definitely.
That's very much like the daily kind of, or maybe not daily, but weekly, yeah. At least, negotiations.
Yeah. So, and I negotiate with, I have two teenage girls, so that's also quite some negotiation.
What do you negotiate with them about?
Oh, so many different things, like how to spend the weekend or what things to do, what to wear, hair, styles, and all different things. Mm-hmm. There was a really good advice that I got, and I noticed that you've taken it on from there. And that was from an old student counselor from my previous school, actually. And he said, Victoria, when it comes to children and negotiation, always, you know, before you automatically just say on sort of autopilot, no, like, I want an ice cream, no, or I want to have those pens, no, you know, really think about for yourself, why am I saying no now? Because only say no, you know, if you think about that for a moment and think, well, maybe today is a really nice day for an ice cream and we haven't had one for a while. Or maybe, no, we've had so much ice creams in the past couple of weeks and there's been so much sugar that it's not really good at all to have any more ice cream right now. So have that little quick conversation in your head with yourself before you say that no. Because when you go for no, that should be it. You know, that's your no, yeah, kind of. And you need to be convinced yourself why that is.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a really cool advice that I've tried to remember and think of, right?
Yeah, and it removes you from the no, 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 yes.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Because, you know, which is just not nice for anyone involved.
No, and the next time the no, 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 no will go on for longer before, you know, because there's someone who knows that eventually this could be turned into a yes, right?
Yeah, no, exactly.
No, but I have a funny story. This is for a couple of years ago, actually. And when one of my daughters came home and she was like, Mom, I want to do it. And all the girls, and it's so popular to have this. And I heard that she said deep dive. I'm like, what? She's like, Mom, it's a dip dive, right? So it's kind of, it was in fashion some years ago, you know, that the ends of your hair would have another color than the rest of your hair. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of like a shift in color. And I heard this and my head, you know, immediately went to like, no. And I saw like this in my head, this picture of light blue or pink or something. Yeah. And I'm like, that's never going to happen in my home. You know, and that was my like first reaction. And then I started to think, well, you know, Mom did let us have all these weird hairstyles and I had my
crazy
hair
crazy red,
yeah.
But I guess you were old enough,
yeah,
then,
and it wasn't like that crazy red, but
I was quite crazy. No, you remember the Christmas pictures? Yeah, that we have,
that was really bad.
Short,
yeah,
red curly hair. Yeah,
but the curls were natural by then. But all right, Mom did let us have all those weird hairstyles and, you know, have this perm in my teens and everything. Maybe I shouldn't be too strict about that. But perhaps we can find a little bit of a negotiation possibility here. Mm-hmm. So I had felt that, you know, they were not that great in taking care of making sure the hair was neat every day and brushed and everything. So we made this agreement that if for 1 month, like 30 days, which it takes to form a habit, that her hair would be perfectly brushed. And she has this beautiful, thick, thick hair.
She so inherited it from me.
Yes, yes, exactly. So if you can brush it perfectly with one stroke and you don't get stuck, that was kind of the test. For these, at any time, for these 30 days, then she would be able to go and do this hairstyle, right?
Yeah.
So, and then she did, which was great because after that, her hair has just been always in perfect shape and really nicely well kept. And she did get this deep dive, whatever it was called, and not in any crazy color, but like a beautiful shade of brown. It was very nice, and actually it was much nicer than I would have thought. And that was kind of a negotiation, you know, trying to see like, all right, so what is a win for me? What's a win for her? And how can we combine that into something really good?
Yeah. So that's a really key for negotiations, right? It's not about like me, you know, it's not about,
no,
really, it's about win-win
type.
It's actually funny. It reminds me in Myanmar, when you said win-win, it didn't really stick with people. Like, I don't know if it was culturally. Mm-hmm. So they even had to add, like, we have to win-win together. So they always said win-win together. I thought it was quite funny.
Yeah, but the word, even in Sweden, we talk within Franklin Covey, that's within the seven habits. That's one of the habits.
Yeah.
And people tend to, you know, they really think about competition and the whole idea is not so much competition, but rather everyone can be winners. But there's lots of negative associations, I'd say, about that.
Yeah. And then we have work.
Yeah.
We all have professional settings where we need to negotiate about something. Mm-hmm. And I think, I mean, the most obvious is the negotiating a new job, where you probably start with a salary negotiation.
Yeah, definitely.
What I remember from the getting to yes book here was really, it's a little bit similar to the points from Colombia, but it's really, you know, doing the thorough preparation, right? Mm-hmm. If your key now is to negotiate a high salary,
yeah,
really do a thorough preparation of what you deserve and what other people in the market are getting for similar positions. And then I would say, very un-Swedish, I was quite like, really, should I do this? Add 5 to 10%,
yeah,
on top of that, because mm-hmm. you want to have room to negotiate.
Definitely.
Those 5 to 10, you don't have to justify. Like, that's at least according to the book and the professor and what I remember. Mm-hmm. You know, that is just the market rate, and then 5 to 10.
Yeah.
And then you can go down from there.
Yeah.
But then, of course, we talked about, it's also about looking through what you really want. So maybe, maybe they can't give you a high salary, but they can give you more holidays, or they can give you an insurance or something else where there's flexibility.
So I guess that's my best advice, I'd say, it after lots of salary negotiations, and think about what it is that's really important for you.
Yeah.
You know, what is it ultimately that you're looking for? Is it that salary, or is it maybe more time or more holidays or working from home? What is it that in the end counts for you?
Mm.
And I remember one, and that was quite an important negotiation for me while we were working, and it was a very hectic period as an expat. And really, I just felt that the 4 weeks vacation span was not enough, because in Dubai, it was so hot during the summers, and I really wanted the girls to be able to be back home in Sweden more.
Yeah.
And I went, you know, to the big boss and really negotiated and got a lot more vacation, right? But for me, then it was like really so important that I was also considering, like, if I don't get more vacation, maybe this isn't the place for us to be. So I really went in and to the big boss and said, well, you know, I really love to work here, and I think I do a great contribution, and I add things. But the fact is that this isn't sustainable for me. But if we could find a solution that would make me, you know, solve this, which was if I could take more vacation. But then, of course, I offered, you know, I can be reachable on email, etc.
Mm-hmm.
But if I could go for a longer period back home every summer, that would mean everything for me.
So their win in this case was your commitment.
Yeah.
They were, you know, you were going to stay. Yeah.
So if I were to leave, they would have to go through the entire recruitment process of finding someone else and all of that work. And I'd built up something, and it was, I could see that for them, the hassle of starting all over and getting, you know, was much bigger than thinking, okay, maybe it's just worth that she gets some extra weeks of vacation every year.
Yeah.
So that worked out really well. And I think that's it. You know, do think about what's important for them, for the other person, the other party, exactly what your expert said about Colombia.
Yeah.
Really consider what are their wins,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So I think that's super important.
Yeah.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
And also consider for yourself, what are my wins and why is it important? I mean, I remember a negotiation that I did not succeed at, and I was so frustrated about my title and early on in my career, and I really wanted it to be very fancy. Uh-huh. And my manager didn't really agree, you know?
Yeah.
And the fact is that she was kind of right. I was a little bit too junior for that title, and later on I got it, and then I really deserved it. But my really only reason for wanting to have that title was because I was so excited about the title, you know?
Yeah. Because otherwise I would think that the title negotiation could be a good way if your goal, you know, if you're relatively junior, for example, and your goal is that when you leave company, being able to get a new job and in a better position, mm-hmm. maybe negotiating your title is something that doesn't cost the company anything. But could give you a win for your next job, for example.
I think that's so much about organizational culture.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
How some are, and some are so stuck. And I hope this is going to change our fascination, first of all, with titles.
That's true.
Also that not to be so hard on them, you know, share them exactly what you say. Be a little bit more abundant with titles. I think that's important.
And then just another quick thought in terms of negotiations that work and finding flexibility. I think the whole idea of the, at least at the UN now, mm-hmm. the whole idea of the Me Too movement and a very clear gender parity strategy.
Yeah.
And having a female boss who's very attuned to this and wanting to, you know, make it really good. And I think there's room, and I think other people could potentially bring that in, to have also conversations on, you know, what are the needs? And that's not only for women,
yeah.
but what are the needs for people in order to have a good work-life balance or work-life blend? There is then room to negotiate in terms of working from home a number of days per week, or other types of I know that there's, you can like work more hours per day and then have every second Friday off or something like that.
Yeah,
I think it's good now for people, given the times that we are in, to reflect on those and actually see that there are opportunities now to maybe have those conversations in some companies, some cultures, to open up more flexibility and maybe getting a little bit more what you want.
So to be more flexible, and something that I put as my sort of key advice is on negotiation and when it works really well, is also to be creative. You know, you don't be too set on this is what I want, but consider what is your long-term goal and then think about creative ways of getting there. And also, you can be creative and you can think about, I think you should always come to negotiation with your boss or with your partner or with your client with a solution, a possible solution, because otherwise you're kind of really being reactive and just coming maybe with a complaint or a problem. But also invite the other person to be creative with you. So like, okay, I was thinking about this, right? And this is great, but let's explore it together and see, can we come up with something, you know, that would work so that the other person also feels committed to whatever solution you come up with, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so hearing about the creative solutions, that makes me think about what we promised we would talk about in the beginning, which is the my mediator role and my mediator training.
Oh, yes. I really want to hear about that. Tell us.
Yes, I did a fantastic training. I think it was in 2011. I became a certified mediator at the New York Peace Institute. Mm-hmm. And it was really interesting. And I think everyone should do these because these type of trainings, well, if you're interested. But it's
Who ran the training even?
It's an organization called New York Peace Institute, and they are working, most people are volunteers that work for them, but they are connected to the legal system. So there is a way for people that are like minors, for example, the judge could say you will have to go to this mediation center as a way of trying to keep people out of the justice system and find a mediated solution, which is just fantastic.
Yes, what a brilliant initiative.
Yeah. But I worked more on, I mean, I was quite early on in my training, and it was everything. Like, we negotiated or mediated cases between, like, neighbor and tenants, business partners, or, like, people that kind of had, you know, bought something from someone on Craigslist and the payment wasn't really happening, or those kind of problems that people had. And also some really complicated family situations as well. But what I found there is that actually bringing people to a facilitated mediation session really opened up, because these people, it maybe looked like small problems, but they had taken over these people's lives. Like, they were now, when they were there, they were huge problems. Otherwise, they wouldn't be there. And providing that safe kind of mediated space allowed people to often for the first time hear what the other person had to say. Because they always just told their story. And when you mediate like this, you often repeat the story that one person has said so that the other doesn't hear it from that person, but hears it from me or you, the mediator. And then because of the techniques that you use, people actually really feel listened to if you do it well.
And in a sense, you do do that. You do listen to them.
Of course. So they really are listened to. And from there, you often open up a space where you can find more creative solutions. So it could be small things. You have a neighbor or two neighbors, and they really dislike each other because they have a huge problem over noise issues. One works night and one, you know, works day, and they have real big issues around this. And the creative solutions might be, you know, noise-canceling headphones combined with having felt listened to and understand that the other person works night.
Yeah.
You know, so there might not be like a huge change someone needs to make, but there might be smaller creative solutions. Or with business transactions, it might be, you know, paying the money back. But often it's that someone has felt like a victim and needs to, more than anything, get an apology.
So that's so good. And it kind of, I would say, sum it up, if you don't want your negotiations to have to end up in a conflict or with a third party, I think we would, just as human beings, save so much time in whatever negotiation you're in, to really take the time to listen.
Yeah.
To listen to each other. Because people are somehow so worried that they're going to forget what they're... But they know what they think already. You know that, right? You know that this is the salary I want, etc. But before you go all in for that, take the time to really listen to the other party.
Yeah.
And then you're ready. And I guess that would work, you know, even for the toddler, the teenager, your... vacation debate at home, where you're gonna go, right? Yeah. All those different things.
Yeah, finding out what the needs are from the other person and listen, absolutely.
Yeah.
And know what you want as well.
Yeah, exactly. Find out for yourself. So, and once you have defined that, so if that's what your starting point, really look at your long-term goal, then you can relax and listen.
Exactly. Yeah.
And be creative. So we have all of this put down with some reflections where you can think about if there are some more negotiations that you need to do, or maybe use a sort of a little mini non-scientific, but from our best advice perspective, checklist that you can use.
Yeah.
Which will be on the Pep Sheets on the website, as always. And that's really it from us for this time.
Yeah. Have a lovely week, everybody.
Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.